Okay, welcome to the Rewire podcast. I have Emily Bass with me today. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. We've just been a little bit technically challenged trying to get things going. But prior to that, we were having a fantastic conversation. And so I think I'd like to jump right into that. But before we do, Emily is a mindset and energy coach. So maybe you could just kind of explain what that is and the type of people that use your services for coaching.
Yeah. So a mindset and energy coach. So it's both combining the mindset. So your thinking patterns, your belief systems, your assumptions about yourself, and then the world combined with the energy practices. So nervous system regulation, your chi, your life force, like how you're energetically showing up on a day-to-day basis. So it's kind of combining both of them together because they are both interconnected. And so it's like the mind-body connection. You need both to fully, you know, get the results that you want. And then the people that usually come to me, so it's kind of a mix, and there's like a diverse kind of person that comes to me. But in general, it's kind of people who have issues or challenges with their thinking patterns. So either they're thinking like negatively and they can't get out of these loops and they're like, what's going on? And usually the people that come to me are aware of the thought patterns that are going on, and they're aware that they don't want to be thinking them anymore, or it's not beneficial to be thinking that way, but they can't actually like change. Like they can't, they don't have the tools to figure out actually how to rewrite those belief systems or how to change their energy. So it's kind of people who know that they have disempowering beliefs or patterns that are happening, but they haven't, they don't know how to shift them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's, yeah, that's interesting, because it's, as we sort of awaken, become more self-aware, we suddenly notice all of those things that have probably been happening subconsciously, automatically, you know, hidden in plain sight for such a long period of time. So is that how you got into doing this type of work? With, I mean, at some point you must have become aware of, more aware, self-aware of yourself. How did you take that awareness and then progress that forward to now?
Yeah. So it started, I was having like mental, emotional, physical health issues forever. I feel like it was forever. But again, like kind of unaware, kind of just going with the flow. And then in like around 2018, 2019, I became aware that my dad had a personality disorder. And that like shifted things, because I looked back at my childhood and I looked back at my life before then, and I realized there was so much trauma, and then so much like manipulation and just a lot going on that I had no idea of. And that sort of like crashed this, you know, perfect persona that I had created. And I started looking, oh my goodness, like this is why I'm acting like this. Like, and I was just piecing things together and realized a lot of the personality that I had created was trauma responses to what was going on in my environment. And so that led me to firstly healing and figuring out that, and then secondly, like the mind-body connection. And so like looking at how trauma impacts people's personalities and then the way that they're showing up. And then it went into manifestation and mindset and like shifting that. So I think the first bit about it was getting help and getting a lot of support on like healing and trying to make sense of how confusing that was, because I had no idea. I thought my dad was the best person ever, and he was the best person ever in so many ways, but there was also two polarities existing. And then it went into like, oh, so this is how powerful the mind is. How do we use that to actually like empower you and create things? And then that got me into the manifestation and like how your thought patterns essentially can create what you want in your life once you get your mind, your body aligned.
Right. It's interesting how, you know, and thanks for sharing that. It's interesting how for a lot of us, it's our family shit that really is the catalyst to this stuff, right? And we don't necessarily, everything just seems normal, you know, when you're in it. And then as you at some point in your life, you look back, you're like, whoa, okay, what was that? What was that?
Yeah.
You know, so you mentioned like, you know, the mind body thing, and you know, we were talking before about how a lot of these trauma patterns and things that we have are sort of in the body. But, you know, in terms of like mind body and alignment, is there a practice that you used back then to sort of dig deeper into this? Because the healing piece that you mentioned, I mean, there's the awareness, but how did you go from just starting to notice this to actually doing the healing piece? Was there like a practice or something that you do?
Mm-hmm. So it started, so I did everything. Like I didn't do everything, but I sought out so many different methodologies because I just have that brain that's like, you know, okay, this is one person's opinion and I'll try it. And then I went to a different methodology and kind of like saw the correlations between the two worldviews and the ways that they're looking at things. And then I saw where they differed. And then I kind of decided like this one worked better. And then I just tried a whole bunch of different things. So at the beginning, it took a long time for me to accept what was going on. And so a lot of it was kind of like talking it out and being like, what? Like this happened, like just confused and trying to accept it. What shifted things a lot was the energy practices. And so I'd get coaches for all of these different things, but I'd say like the most beneficial to move through emotions was the coaching sessions where we would just go on. And sometimes there wouldn't be too many like words said, but it would be like feeling what I actually needed to feel to let those frequencies and let those emotions like actually be felt, and doing it in a safe container. And there was a methodology to it. It was like connecting with the other person's higher self and forgiveness and all of those different things. But the main things that I did to like actually feel a significant difference was a lot of the energy practices and also movement and breathing and, you know, just constantly moving my body to let those emotions move through. Dancing was another huge one that's free and that everyone can do. But yeah, it was a combination of literally so many different things.
Yeah, it's interesting. The cliche that we have to feel to heal.
I think that's, yeah, I know.
that's the big one. And what we resist persists. And I think that's, you know, I personally resisted for a long period of time, or numbed or avoided or did a lot of different things. And I think that's one of the biggest problems for a lot of people in terms of that healing path, is that they don't want to feel what they've packed away from the past. You know, they just say, okay, I'm starting fresh, but it doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, as the body is holding on to, as Michael Singer from the Better Soul, all that stored junk that we've piled in there over the years and suppressed. That's interesting. So if a client comes to you then, and you know, they're awakening, and do you have like a particular set of practices? I know we talked about breath work is one of those practices. Is there something else? Is it like a case by case basis when you work with people in terms of what you recommend?
Mm-hmm. So it's very like individual on a case by case basis, but then there's usually like, it's like trying to figure out the root. So they'll tell me a pattern. So I'll give you an example from one client that I have. And it was that, so he wanted to manifest a relationship, and he was finding a pattern of people ghosting him. So it's always figuring out, okay, so he's ghosting you. Like, how's that actually making you feel? Like, what's the feeling? What's the frequency of that? And then going back, okay, when's the first time that you felt like that? It's like, oh, dang, like, I used to feel like that all the time when I was like 4 growing up, and all of these times. It's like, okay, so that pattern that just happened that was rooted in the past is just showing up in the now because it's trying to get you to heal it. So it's like going back into the past, and I do like this timeline shifting thing. So it's breath work, and then it's like tuning into your body, and then we're going back into the past, into different moments. It doesn't actually have to be at specific memories, but it's accessing the feeling and the frequency of what you're actually, like the root emotion of what you're actually feeling about whatever external thing that we're like perceiving with our senses. But it's actually, okay, what's the feeling of that? When did that happen? When was that rooted in? And then healing that initial response or that initial pain point. And then once they can see that and feel it, and then see it in a different perspective, then it starts to shift the patterns in the present. And yeah, everything will kind of like turn out different, or things that will happen in the external won't actually trigger them as much because they've, again, like you were saying before, like they've felt it and allowed it to actually move through their body, and or had a different perception, which changes your thinking and your emotions about the same situation.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yourself, your daily routines and these types of things, you know, as far as my perspective goes, it's a practice. It's something that we have to do for life. There's always some sort of practice of self-evaluation, a practice of being, you know, self-regulating. And unless we can actually like somehow have our amygdalas removed, we're still going to feel that stress response and, you know, creating resilience to overcome that. But for you, do you have like a morning routine, or do you have a particular like a daily, monthly, weekly sort of ritual that you would practice to keep moving forward, to keep opening and expanding and healing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my morning routine, I don't touch my phone for the first bit when it comes off. So I always put my phone in airplane mode, and then I do journaling. So I do my gratitude journal. So five things I'm grateful for about what's present, like what's actually currently in my reality right now. And then five things about what I'm manifesting that's already happened, but I'm just calling it into the present. And then I do, it depends. I do either a meditation or a breath work. And so sometimes I kind of like feel into what's like present within me, because, you know, it goes in like cycles and it's different depending on whatever day. So sometimes I'll do a silent one. Sometimes I'll do a guided one. Usually for my guided ones, it's like jumping into the best version of myself. So that one's usually when I don't feel too much stagnation in my body. And it's like, okay, we can go there instead of, we don't need to clear as much. And then sometimes a breath work, and I like to do Kundalini yoga. So breath combined with like short movements. And then another just like game changer that I couldn't imagine in my life is working out. And so that's just like a practice that I just need to have. It completely transforms my mental, emotional health. And then before bed too, it's kind of journaling about what went well in my day, journaling about what I can celebrate.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, the workout, I mean, yes, just, I always tell people, if you're feeling a bit of a funk, just move your body, just to move that liberate that trapped energy. And you know, nothing changes your state quicker than really doing an intense workout, regardless of what you do. But interesting, your morning routine is it's basically the foundation of what I teach people as well. Everything that you mentioned, not looking at the phone in the morning, I think is a huge one, you know, because it's a, we people just love to grab their phone in the morning. And, you know, if it's on social media, like they're instantly comparing and everyone's life looks so great. And or if they're checking their email or text, it's usually somebody pulling them into their timeline, and it has nothing to do with, you know, not too many e-transfers there. Typically it's a lot of, And then the meditation and, you know, at the stage you're at right now, you can intuitively see what's going to serve you that day based on where you're feeling. The only other thing I have in my little four pack of like my core habits is just some lemon water hydration when I first wake up, and all those other things that go with it. So that's beautiful. So I'm super excited because I have not talked to you yet about your ayahuasca journey. Are we okay to talk about that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. I should
have an open book.
I meant to ask you, because we were talking a lot about it before. Because you've got another one coming up, something different coming up, but I was sharing that, you know, I've been doing, I'm a big fan of psychedelics. You know, at one time it was more of a social thing, but now it's, something completely different. But, you know, and for over 10 years, formally doing, ayahuasca ceremonies and, you know, DMT and other things as well, which have been incredibly powerful in expanding my consciousness and, you know, diminishing ego and showing me parts of myself that I haven't seen before, but we haven't really talked. So you did something really cool because you went to Costa Rica with your boyfriend, Russell. What I admired so much about you two is that a lot of people will do, people ask me all the time, oh, I want to do ayahuasca. And, you know, I believe it should be something that people do after they've done some work already, and not just as a, you know, it is a bit of a shortcut, or at least it's a, I feel like it's like maybe pressing the fast forward button or shifting a perspective very quickly, but it's been a bit trendy, I think, in some cases, but where groups of people, oh, we want to go do it together. And it's such an individual journey. And so I thought it was, I was so impressed when I heard that you two went there and then split off and did your own ceremony in your own place. And so I've, you know, I've heard a little bit of Russell's story, but I haven't heard yours yet. So maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was really interesting because, again, like you can apply this to so many things, but the difference between like experiential knowledge versus like intellectual knowledge, because I like Googled everything about it, like every YouTube, I was like, I watched them all. And I feel like it was just so different than what I was expecting and so potent. Like I just wasn't expecting the level of intelligence. Like I was so humbled by it. I was like, whoa, this medicine is like really pulling up, and you know, things that I had been thinking the prior days would just show up and they'd be answered during my journeys. And I was like, oh my goodness, like she's listening to everything and she's showing me everything. Like, whoa, this is so crazy. So first of all, I was so humbled by the potency of it. And I was also like, yeah, I just wasn't expecting it to be that intense. So what I'll say, oh gosh, there, like, I feel like there is just thousands of bits of information in each second. It's like, oh gosh, where do I even start with that?
Would you say like, so like, and it's so funny you just mentioned about Googling. Whenever people ask me, my answer is always, it's not that, because it's not. Yeah, I mean, it's different every time too. But I mean, would you say like, you probably had an intention going into it. Do you feel that, that your intention was, you feel that you got an answer for that, or did you get something unexpected from it? I mean, what would you say would be like maybe a couple of the biggest takeaways anyway for your own personal journey?
Yeah. So my intention was, I think it's always just to feel better, which is such a general broad intention, but at Rhythmia, they actually had intentions that they kind of, advise you to go through. So the first one, oh gosh, the first one was, put me back with my soul or heal my soul. Merge me back with my soul at all costs, heal my heart, merge me back with my soul at all costs. And oh gosh, I'm not sure, but it was something else. They had three intentions that you were to follow. And I really appreciate like that. That was cool. And my ego at the beginning was like, I don't want to follow those intentions. Like I want my own intentions. And I was like, okay, you know, they have them for a reason. Just try it. And I was super glad that I did. I'd say my biggest takeaway. So I think a lot was to do again with my dad, and it just felt like there was so much unresolved stuff. My dad passed last year, and so I didn't get to like have that. I cut him off when I realized, and then it went into like a whole downward spiral because of that. So I never got to like say bye. I never got to just kind of like reconcile any of that. And so within the first two ceremonies, I was just bawling my eyes out because they had a guy playing the acoustic guitar. And so a lot of it was just purging that unprocessed grief and sadness that I hadn't, again, going back to like feeling it to heal it, because I realized during those ceremonies that I had kind of distance myself from my feelings. So I would think that I was being vulnerable by saying, oh yeah, I am sad or I am angry, but I was intellectualizing it. Like I was talking about it, but not actually feeling it. Like I wasn't ever in the experience. I was more on top of the experience, describing the experience. So I learned in that. And then I had to go and like fully feel the sadness and like the grief that I hadn't actually like allowed myself to feel. And so that was just so intense, but you feel so good after, right? But it was like, and there was just a lot of understanding about why I chose to have that family that I was born into. And like, oh yeah, like I didn't believe in soul contracts before. Like it didn't resonate. I didn't understand what they meant. But then I just had this download, like, no, that you had a soul contract with him. Like, you know, you guys were both here to teach each other really important, valuable lessons. And so it was kind of a reconciliation that I had got to have. And it just feels so much better. And I saw things for just divinely intentional. Like everything happened intentionally, every single thing. I look back on every moment in my life. I'm like, oh, this was all happening to show me things, and like, cool. And so it gave me a lot more trust in what was going on and like just like magic. And like every moment I'm like, oh goodness, like this is all happening for me. Like, what's the lesson? We were talking about this before of like seeing things as all showing lessons and they all have their purpose. And I just understood that like a knowingness rather than like an intellectualization of it. And yeah, it just seemed like a lot more like fun and magical. And it just showed that like, everything's okay. Everything's chill.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm sorry to hear about your father. I wasn't aware of that, but I'm grateful to hear that you had an opportunity to do some work with that emotion and reconcile it, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I'll mention too, one last thing was the feminine energy. That's something I really wanted to heal when I was going in, because I'm so in my masculine. It's such a protective like mechanism for me. I just like, I'm attached to it. It's given me so much awesome stuff. So I was like, okay, I really want to like dive into that. And instead of it like showing or telling me certain things, it would show me the frequency of the feminine energy, the patience that is with the feminine energy. Okay, this is what it feels like to be patient. And so that was another thing, that was another intention that I had that I really wanted to like look into. And it was really interesting the way that Aya showed me in more so like the feeling of, okay, what does it feel like to have patience? And what does it feel like to be still, like not have anything to do? So that was really interesting too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was literally had that. Just say you mentioned, I literally had the conversation about the masculine and feminine with somebody today. Mm-hmm. It was a woman who felt that she was in her masculine a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say, so that's interesting because, you know, without these, this type of exploration, without getting outside your comfort zone, creating that non-ordinary state of consciousness to peer back into your soul from that perspective, you know, maybe more of a perspective of truth, at least clarity. Of course, with grandmother wrapped around you and guiding you through that process. But so that with the masculine and feminine thing is, I mean, do you feel that there's been a shift since then? Or do you just feel like it's the same, but you're just accepted it more? Or like, you know, because I'm always kind of curious about that side of things.
Yeah, it's a good question. It feels like I now have a choice more so. Like, it doesn't feel like it's any more... it's easier to tap into my feminine, or it's any easier for me to like be present at the beginning. Like when I first like met up with Russell, and it was like right after Aya, your heart's open and it was easy, you know? And then when you got back, it seems like more of a choice. It has to like, it's more intentional now. Okay. I'm choosing to be in my masculine and I'm choosing to make things harder than they need to be. And can I choose something different? So it feels like it's more of a choice if I want to go back into the pattern or the energy, rather than like it organically just like I'm just in my feminine more. So it feels like, oh, okay, I have to choose again and choose again and choose again to shift the way that I'm like predominantly expressing myself.
Yeah. And at least be aware of if it's serving you or not.
Right? Yeah.
Or an alignment maybe with whatever's there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. But yeah. I think it showed me in a way that was really beneficial of, okay, this is what it feels like. Like, oh yeah, I didn't know the feeling. Like I didn't know what it felt like. And again, like talking about the experiential knowledge versus intellectually like, oh yeah, this is what it's like, but it's not the same. It was really interesting.
Describe the embodiment of the experience to somebody, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And yeah, it's so interesting. You mentioned that heart open feeling afterwards. I mean, and as you slowly get back into your routine and back into things, and it's Monday and it's Tuesday and the heart's starting to shrink again. And I'm like, no, but, do you do a heart opening practice, or is that just, would you just say that's what your practice is? Like, do you intentionally work on opening the heart center and to try to, you know, continue to foster that feeling? And
yeah, I do. So there's like breath works focused on focused on the heart, which I thought was really useful. And then another thing, like usually when I find that my heart's feeling like stagnation, I usually go to either my root or my sacral to see if there's any energy blocked there. So if there's like within the whole system, because I just know that I have blocked, usually have blocked energy that maybe that needs to move through. But with heart opening practices, yeah, I find a breath work, and it's specifically one from Rhythmia that they gave to us, and it's really powerful. And you're like tearing, you know, when you're just like slamming on the ground. Did you do that? And you're like using your voice. So I find like that is honestly like with combined with the breath that helps me open my heart. So when you're doing your breath work, when you just like take moments to just like slam your feet and your hands on the ground and make any noise, that opens a lot.
Funny. I was actually doing, similar to holotropic, it was called rebirthing breath work. It was called, and I was with a guy. He was, his name is Sandro Mota. He's a Brazilian guy from New Zealand. And I was doing it in the basement, and I just told my family, I just got a meeting for like the next hour or so. So, and it was a Friday night, like early Friday evening. And, I locked the door in my office, and I'm in there. And then all of a sudden I remember I just opened my eyes, and they were all standing over me crying and freaking out. And I was doing that. I was like, just full tantrum on the ground. But I'm like, who was that kind of came out? I'm like, no, I feel great. It's all gone. Oh, good.
Yeah, I feel like just like a observer. It's like, oh gosh, what's going on? But it feels so good.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. And so you have another trip coming up in 2 weeks. Is that in Costa Rica as well?
Sorry, that's in Mexico. In Mexico. So I think the original shaman for that, I don't think the original shaman was from Africa. And then he came over to the States in, I don't know, maybe like 25 years ago, and was like, he said it was his first time that he was like shocked. Like the culture, like the way that we interact was just shocking to him. Like, oh my goodness. So he saw in a vision that he needed to come to the States. And then once he got here, he's like, oh my goodness, this is why, like, I need to give the medicine or share the medicine to, you know, help these people because they're illness in the mind. And he ended up in Costa Rica, and yeah. And so he's been training some people there. He's actually, I think he went back like 4 years ago to Gabon in Africa, but there's some people that he trained that are providing the medicine in Costa Rica, and then this guy in Mexico, and I think in Canada potentially, but I don't know. I know in Costa Rica and Mexico for sure.
So I will get that for you. And, so maybe we can do another podcast after this experience, because I'll be really curious. I haven't traveled that road, but I know people who have. I just wanted to thank you so much, Emily, for being on here, for sharing all those things with me. You've got like an incredibly just great energy, and I love your outlook. I mean, you shared something with me about how you notice, and this is so important, I think, for people to be aware of. It's just how you notice everything in life coming up, even the challenges, without getting pulled in, swept into the emotions of that so much. And I think I admire that about you, how you're the mindset around how a challenge can actually be just that, just something to overcome. There's a lesson there for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. And it's way easier when you can look at it like that, right? It's like, just like this trust, and you're like, oh wait, everything that's coming up that seems a challenge is actually beneficial in some way. It's like, wait, okay, so how is it beneficial? And like asking that question, it's just way easier. Yeah. Makes more fun.
Yeah, it's easier said than done, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Emily.
Cool. Thank you. Sweet.
Thank you so much.